It's too small a town to carry that around. Buddy, lay the hatchet down. It's too small a town. Well, Billy married Jane, who cheated with my Uncle Blaine, who left her for her sister Sue, 'cause she worked down at the Hooters. Sue was running around with Nick, old friends with benefits, till everyone found out the neighborhood just went to hell. It's too small a town to carry that around. Buddy, lay that hatchet down. It's too small a town. Harlow borrowed $50, said he was down on his luck. His raise did not come through, and his babies needed shoes. He bought a quarter ounce of weed, all I got for my good deed was a repo on my truck. Oh, come on now, let's square it up. It's too small a town. It's too small a town. Ups and downs, it's too small a town. I got a little dog that bites. He goes out biting every night. Don't take it personally. He bites you and he bites me. Now we ain't welcome at the bar, the Mormon church or general store. Even drunkards, even saints, got little bite marks in their paints. It's too small a town to carry that around. Doggy, you can't go around biting everyone you see. It's too small a town to carry that around. Buddy, lay that hatchet down. It's too small a town, buddy, lay that hatchet down. It's too small a town.
That's a tune called Too Small a Town by Jalon Crossland and his band. Heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, the show's your connection to local performances. Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Kelly. Pleased to be with you today. Hope you had a good weekend. We've got some good music for you. Jalon is in the studio to play for a solo today because he is in Urbana for a couple of gigs between tonight and tomorrow night. Tonight he'll be joining the Urbana Hootenanny, which is a weekly event at the Rose Bowl Tavern in downtown Urbana. Starts at 8 o'clock and runs till it stops. Usually I hear around 11 or 12, and folks are invited to bring their instrument and join in, or it's just more or less an open mic situation. He's going to be taking over the mic, though, however, somewhere around 9 o'clock. And I think you'll find it'll be a treat to go listen to him live, and after you hear him play live on the show today. And then tomorrow night, he'll be playing also in downtown Urbana, but just down the street at the Iron Post. That show also starts at 8 o'clock. Jalon Crossland's from the state of Wyoming, a big town called Ten Sleep, and pleased to welcome you to the show. Thanks very much.
Well, thanks, Kevin. It's good to be here.
So I thought that song might be sort of a reasonable setup to that really big town.
Yeah, the sprawling metropolis. We have 300 people in Ten Sleep, Wyoming. It's at the foot of the Bighorns up north. 50 or 60-mile commute to get groceries. And so you make a list before you go to town. But it's a pretty place to live. Nice spot.
Is there any place in Wyoming that isn't pretty?
Well, I can't say it on the radio if there is one.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that I have been there, but when I was there, as I'm told by my mom, it was in utero. So I didn't see much.
Yeah.
So I don't have any personal experience, but I've always heard it's a gorgeous place to be. You actually grew up in that town?
Yeah, it's my hometown. Have 4 generations of roots there, and so I've lived elsewhere and traveled all over playing music, but that's the hometown.
And so that's where you go back to regularly?
Yep, that's where I go back to wash clothes and feed the dog and then head out on the road again.
What happens to the dog when you're not there?
You know, I just put out a big pan of food and tell him not to eat it all at once.
Does that work? Or do you find him skinny and starved every time you
no.
get back?
I left him with mom. Mom takes care of him when I'm on the road.
Yeah, I suppose if there's 4 generations of family there, there's got to be family still there.
Yeah.
You said you've lived elsewhere in Wyoming or elsewhere around the country?
Oh, I lived in Pittsburgh for a short stretch.
Really? How'd you end up there?
Mom and I moved out there to kind of be there's a good art community out there with Carnegie and my mom and I both did artwork for a living before I did music for a living, and so we thought it'd be neat to go just submerge ourselves in that environment, and it was great. It was a great place to live for a few years, and then moved back to Ten Sleep, and then also lived. My dad was in the Navy, so spent some time living on Navy bases out in California and stuff too.
And what did you get out of the Pittsburgh? That's my home state, actually.
Oh, is it?
Pennsylvania, but
really?
3 hours away from Pittsburgh. What did you get out of there?
Well, I mean, it was after living that in a little town of Ten Sleep, it was really quite a culture shock going out to a big city like that. But it was a beautiful place. There's lots of, like I say, there's so much art there. That was the main thing we went out there for. But then I also started playing in bands. That's where I was getting my first gigs. So playing with high school bands and just parties and garages and stuff. But
Were you in high school at that point?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a long time ago. I was only there for a few years. So.
And what kind of art were you doing?
Well, mom was always she did oil paint and acrylic, and she was a fine artist, and I was more of a commercial illustrator. I liked the illustration doing. And I worked in rapidograph pens and airbrush and stuff like that.
Does that survive in any way?
No, that's part of why I'm not in the business anymore.
I don't know if you did your own album art or anything like that.
Yeah, you know, when the computer came out, we were still in business doing art for a living when the computer came out. And unless you're doing fine art, it kind of rendered what we were up to obsolete. And we just got out of it. So mom still paints, and I don't know, it's hard to duplicate banjo and acoustic guitar on a computer, so I can still do that.
Oh, people do it, and it just sounds mostly awful with MIDI and things like that, although there's even improvement there. Well, when you started to play in bands, I imagine it wasn't the sort of music you do now, or was it?
Well, you know, I grew up, from my earliest memories, I grew up to listening to bluegrass music and kind of old folk country music, like the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and the Ozark Mountain Daredevils and stuff like that. That's what my family listened to, and my uncle's a banjo player, so my earliest music was that kind of stuff. And then when I got into high school, and I played a little banjo all the way back then. Uncle taught me how to play banjo, not very good, and I still don't play it very good, but I started all the way back then. And then I got into high school and realized that playing banjo in the 80s was about the most uncool thing you could possibly do in high school. And so then I took up guitar at that point. And
the electric guitar, I assume.
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, acoustic wouldn't be cool either.
No, that still wasn't cool. In the 80s, man, it was synthesizer music and heavy metal. So,
did you have the hair to go with the heavy
metal?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Did the whole thing. Me and a buddy of mine saved up $50 between the two of us and bought a Marlboro brand guitar that came with a Marlboro brand amp from a pawn shop and went at it.
Not knowing my guitars, I assume that was...
It was the only Marlboro brand guitar I've ever seen.
So it was not an upscale guitar.
I don't think so. Actually, I still have that, come to think of it. But out in the shop, on the wall.
But, so your metal phase lasted how long?
You know, I still like old metal, heck. But that's what I was doing in Pittsburgh. I started playing in metal bands, playing electric guitar. I went to the Black Sabbath at the Hollywood Bowl like a month ago out in California. So I'm still into all that old stuff.
But for the playing of it?
Do I play it anymore?
Yeah.
No, I haven't done that in a long, long time. I played in those kind of bands and stuff for, I don't know, 5 or 10 years or something. And then went back to my roots music, country and bluegrass type of feeling stuff. And that's what I've done mostly for a long time.
Why don't you give us a sample?
All right, let's see. Well, this is one off of a Moonshiner CD. Kind of a little love song.
Like wood smoke aloft to the cabin at the end of Cherry Lane. December gnaws all the shingles, summer soft on the vine. Through the window I know there's a warm light that glows, all for a true love of mine. Cherry Lane, I wonder how I could leave her behind. Take up a job in this big city smog, read no earthly peace I could find. Just a few more dollars, just a few more days, and I'll spark up the Ford, throw my worries by the way, drive till she's in my arms again. Line farther still to her door, but if she'll take me inside, all bleary eyed and crazy, swear I won't never leave no more. Somewhere out on a radio, we'll find a familiar refrain. Throw back the quilt, jug old crow. Stay up all night down Cherry Lane.
Jelon Crossland live on Live and Local right here in our studio on FM 90.9, where the show is made possible with support from a grant from the Meredith Foundation dedicated to supporting the musical arts and performance and presentation. That song comes off of his Moonshiner CD, which came out about 10 years ago, it looks like. And there's been two since then, Driftwood Souls. We heard a tune from that earlier. Portrait of a Fish is the latest, right?
There's actually three since then.
I'm
busy releasing albums at three-year intervals.
I see that. Yeah, 2007, Trailer Park Fire and Other Tragedies.
Yeah, Spirit of Shakespeare. It's a tragedy.
which brings up that term that sometimes gets applied to you. I'm curious how when it first came up, of the Trailer Park Troubadour.
I know. I hate that handle.
Do you?
But I made that Trailer Park Fire tune, and I don't know, back home people like that one. And it's good fun.
They like the tune, or they like the...
They like the song.
Yeah.
And then, so they started saying that, and I guess it's endearing, and I should accept it.
The Trailer Park Troubadour.
Yeah.
But it came about from that song.
I'm trying to live that one
down. But it came from
that tune.
That song.
Yep.
Yeah. What's the prevalence of trailer parks in Tent Sleep?
Gosh, you know, I think I live in one of the last trailers left in Tin Sleep. They're thinning out. It's a nice, respectable community now.
But you can still be a nice, respectable person just because you live in a trailer, doesn't
that's
mean,
true.
You
know, that's true.
My dad did for many, 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 many
yeah.
years.
Yeah. Well, I like it. It's so paid for.
Yeah,
1967
that's right.
Centennial mobile home. I paid it off cash when I bought it years ago and haven't had a mortgage since.
Well, and it's probably fancy compared to the place you sleep the rest of the year.
The van. Yeah.
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 Although I read that you've got your van pretty well tricked out. Or
where did you hear that? Who's telling you about the interior of my van?
Well, let's see. It's an article that was in the New York Times.
They
sort of describe it here. Unless you got a different van. So what does it say here? I can't even find it. But
talking about the waterbed and the wood stove, right?
Maybe so. Do you have a waterbed and a wood stove in there?
Yeah. To call around wood and water, it brings my gas mileage down.
I can't find it. So what is your tricked out van like? Oh, here
it
says.
It's not that fancy, really.
Tricked out with a writing desk, coffee maker, wardrobe, banjo and guitar racks, and caches of food, mostly canned peaches is what it says in the article.
Oh, that's true.
That's all true.
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of vehicle did you modify?
Well, it's just a Dodge B3500, high top, extendo back. It used to be a handicap van down in Tucson, Arizona, and they had the chairlift thing on the side, which they removed off of it, and I took all the seats out and then took some plywood to it and built a little interior just how I liked it, and got to make a comfortable way to travel. Far be it for me to buy an actual, you know, mobile home or something that's already built nice. I got to just went in there and did it myself. So
well, coming back to the it's paid for.
It's paid for. That's it. Bought it cash, fixed it up. I don't like using credit very much. So this is actually my 10th van since I've been doing this. And I bought them all cash. You just save up because you know it's going to die. So while you're out on the road playing, save up, sock it away. And when the next one dies, you go buy another one. So
you're doing okay to be able to keep yourself in vans.
I don't buy the best vans. Maybe if I bought a really nice van, I'd only be on my second or third van.
Well, I was sort of thinking about that as well. I want to come back to the Trailer Park Troubadour thing, not because of the trailer park part, but because of the troubadour part. I mean, the troubadour, as I was going to look up this term, and then I forgot to do it, but as I recall, it's more or less somebody who travels around and shares the news. Often musically.
Is it specifically news?
No. Well, I'm thinking way back to the Middle Ages.
It
was often news, but it would show up in the form
the original,
of songs.
That word originally mean bringing the news to the people, huh?
Something like that, I think. Somebody can call up and correct me, except I never give out the phone number, so I guess you'd have
so
to make it
right
through the switchboard. But would that be a fair way of describing what you see yourself as doing?
Gosh, yeah.
Somewhat.
I like to travel all over the country singing songs for people. It's a good way to live. I enjoy it.
But the songs, if they're not actually sharing news, they're sharing stories.
Yeah, they sing about what you know. So mostly the songs are all about people and situations in small town Wyoming, and I try to hopefully write them in a way that they can be understood and appeal to a broader audience. But it all stems from real people and happenings. I can change the names.
Well, that was going to be my question.
So I can stay living there.
If you have to disguise things to...
Yeah, all the names have to get changed. But the thing about it is everyone who's... They probably recognize themselves whenever the song comes out. But.
So are most of the songs based on actual occurrences?
Yeah. I mean, some of them are flat-out lies, but they're all... I mean, most of them are based on real stuff.
Like the last one?
Yeah. Yeah. That was about a real gal I used to know.
I sort of wondered if that was the case and what happened to her.
She's still around. She found a
cowboy. She's just not around you.
She's just not around me. She found a cowboy who doesn't live in a trailer or a van, so she's doing better now.
Well, there must be the sort of woman who would find it appealing to have a guy
minstrels.
Who leaves regularly.
Yeah, they work on brass poles. Those are the ones that goes for musicians. No, I'm kidding.
You have songs about them, too,
obviously. Yeah, there's some about them, too. No, actually, I date a gal from Cheyenne, Wyoming, and she likes traveling a lot, so it works out great for both of us. She'll come on the road with me as much as she can, just travel along with. She enjoys it. So
musically inclined.
And she's an upstanding young lady who doesn't work on poles. She owns a business in Cheyenne.
Well, as long as we're just straightening out things regarding the trailer park, you know, these poles are now used for exercise.
That's right.
By upstanding young women, reportedly. Why don't you share us another song?
Let's see. What should we do? Got one. Maybe just do kind of an upbeat, fun one here. So I guess they're all basically love songs at some level. This is about dating girls who are taller than you are. This is called Climb.
Tall as the pine, long as a passenger train. When she goes past, her shadows cast 500 miles across the plain. She's mine, 6 foot tall and worth a climb. And I climb my baby all the time. All I can do to climb from her shoes to the ruby red lips that I adore. Go real slow, find places to hold, never look down at the floor. She's mine, 6 foot tall and worth a climb. And I climb my baby all the time. Oh, thank you. I was a blue little bird, I would fly to my darling there, build my nest in a tender breast, sleep curled in the locks of her hair. She's mine, mine, 6 foot tall and worth a climb, and I climb my baby all the time. Whoa, she's mine, 6 foot tall, and I, yes, I, and I climb my baby all.
Climb by Jalon Crossland.
That's a ridiculous song.
Oh, it's a fun song. And I and the instrumental break, the guitar break, is a lot of fun in there. How did you learn your technique?
Well, it's fingerstyle guitar playing. Kind of derived from what Merle Travis used to do and Chet Atkins, where the thumb holds down a bass line while your fingers keep melodies going. And then just take it out in farther, stranger places, I guess. I learned to do it, gosh, it must have been the early 90s I started to learn how to do that. I always thought it was a great sound, a neat sound, the finger style, finger picking thing. And the hardest thing about it is just getting that motor skill, keeping your thumb going while your other fingers are doing other things. But once it falls in place, it's easy.
So. Did you have somebody teach you, or did you just pick it up from listening or watching or both?
I just picked it up listening to Chet Atkins records, that... You know, that back and forth picking thing, and you start adding melodies. And like I say, the hardest part, I just sit on the couch for hours and hours and keep that going. So it would become a motor skill. Once that happened, once I didn't have to think about that part anymore, everything else kind of fell into place.
So you're providing your own bass line, really.
Yeah, and then I didn't have to have bands.
But you do have a band. What percentage of the time that you...
Oh, it's about half.
Would you say, is it?
It's about half. I actually started learning that Travis picking. That was part of my thinking, because I'd come out of road bands at that time. In my early 20s, I'd already been on the road a while, playing with road bands as a mercenary guitar player, lead guitar player, with just whatever bands would take me on the road. And I learned early on that dealing with other musicians was hard to do. I mean, we're a bunch of prima donnas out there.
I would think it would not be the easiest thing.
And so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to quit having bands, and I'm going to learn how to play that fingerstyle guitar, and then I could just be the whole band, and I'll be solo. And it was good, clean living there for a while.
For a while.
And then I was like, man, bands are kind of fun. I want a band. Yeah, I feel lonely. So then we put a band together.
Well, I would think that traveling around in the van, long distances, and just sleeping there by yourself, it would get lonely after a while. You know, you go to the gig, it's just, I mean, there's people there during the gig, but there's nobody there before, and there's nobody there after, and...
I don't know. I like it. I've always been kind of a loner. It works well for me. Once you get to the gig, you get around people for a few hours, and it's lots of fun, and you whoop it up. And then I always kind of like just getting back out in the country in the van again, traveling. So,
how far do you go on a typical tour? Do you go to a region and then come back?
You know, I don't think there's any typical tour, rhyme or reason to what I do. Kind of just go where the phone rings, and if the phone's not ringing, my manager calls and makes other people's phones ring, and we just kind of go wherever we can work. This one is definitely a specific region. We had a few anchor dates, and played the John Hartford Music Festival up in Bean Blossom, Indiana last weekend. So that was kind of one of the anchor dates, and we're in a regatta up in... Wilmington, I think, is where the regatta's at. Anyway, so you get anchor dates, and then so Ted puts a bunch of other dates around those, and so it kind of became this region. And I've actually never toured this region before. Never been to Illinois or Indiana that I can recall.
At all?
Not that I recall. And it's great. Spent the weekend up in Chicago, and what a beautiful city.
Yeah, what did you get to do up there?
We rented some of those city bikes. There was four of us. We rented the city bikes and bar hopped for 9 hours. So we saw a whole lot of the city and got some exercise, and it was great.
And how was the bike riding after the last bar?
Well, I was wondering, can you get a DUI for driving, for drinking and riding bicycles?
I hope you didn't have occasion to find out.
No, we did fine. We kept it together. Rode straight and narrow.
So if there were four guys with you, was this on a band?
No, it was actually my girlfriend had come along, and she flew back home out of Chicago, and then it was visiting her sister and brother-in-law. So there's just four of us out riding over town, went to the beach. And
Chicago's not a bad biking town, really.
No, it's great. It's really built for bikes. I'm impressed. It was awesome. And just so many beautiful parks and really nice neighborhoods with old architecture. Mm-hmm. And it's just a gorgeous city, I thought.
For those who aren't familiar with the notion of what you referred to as anchor dates and just the whole idea of putting a tour together, walk us through just a little bit what happens. You've got these anchor dates that you or your agent set up, by which you mean here's something that has to happen at a particular time.
Yeah, I mean, someone's got a call with a good enough gig that it's worth driving across the country for, which means they've got to pay for your gas for sure.
So this festival was one such.
Yeah, the festival and the John Hartford Music Festival. Right. The John Hartford Music Festival, and then I'm playing a regatta up I think it's Wilmington. There's so many towns that you forget the name of the town until you look back at the sheet. But anyway, I was playing a regatta up there. And so these places kind of made it possible financially to get out to this part of the country. And then once we know that we can get there, then Ted will call a whole bunch of other places and fill in all the way around it. So
typically you'll have, let's say this one is on this week, this one is on that week.
Yeah, and we had a big hole in between them.
And you don't want to just sit somewhere in a hotel.
Right, so yes.
Well, don't do hotels.
Yeah, stay in there. Yeah. Unless it's winter.
Right.
But so then he fills in everything else. And as we start posting dates on the website that are coming in, other people start seeing that we're out in this part of the country, so they'll call us. And it just kind of snowballs a little bit
until you get some
things to do.
Which reminds me to say, because I haven't in a while, that Jalon Crossland will be playing in Urbana tonight at 8 o'clock during the weekly Urbana Hootenanny. So it's an open mic situation. There's often some locals who come and plan to play, and then there's others who come and probably also plan to play, but they didn't tell anybody ahead of time. And then in this case, Jalon will be playing probably around 9-ish, something like that, and then tomorrow night, his own gig at 8 o'clock, also in downtown Urbana, but at the Iron Post. So it's tonight at the Rose Bowl at 8, and at the Iron Post tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. You broke out your banjo.
Yeah, is that bad?
No, it is not bad. Now, this was the first instrument you learned.
Yeah, actually it started on the 5-string banjo. That's what my uncle played, the traditional bluegrass 5-string banjo. This one here is a 6-string banjo. I still play the 5-string too. It's in the van. But I thought I'd bring this one in for this today.
And since listeners can't see this, this is always kind of a mild curiosity to see a left-handed guitar or banjo player.
Yeah.
Although, and you could be either playing a left-handed instrument, or in this case, you just flip it over.
Well, this is actually, right? Both of these instruments are actually made to be left-handed
they are.
Yeah, Deering Banjo Company. The guy who owns it's left-handed, so I don't know what. Let's see.
Is the lowest string? I've never played banjo or guitar. So the lowest string is typically
on top.
It is typically
on a guitar.
On top.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. On a banjo, God, the only thing I can see that's any different would probably just be the nut and the saddle back here, the bridge. That's pretty much. At least on a 6-string banjo, I guess there's not a lot of difference. On a guitar, there's quite a bit of difference because you generally make different bracing and.
But it is a left-handed instrument. Okay, had my orientation wrong.
My disorientation.
Disorientation. That's right. So what you gonna do with on the banjo?
Well, let's see. Well, since we're speaking of my Uncle Dan, we'll do a tune that he showed me how to play.
This was the guy from whom you first learned the banjo?
Yep. And he really does the old frailing style of banjo, which I could never figure out how to do very good. and heck, I can never figure out how to do the bluegrass style of banjo either. I kind of make up my own banjo from an inability to do any of the right ways. So, but this is a tune he showed me to play. It's called The Cumberland Gap.
That sounded like one of those electric guitar licks that somebody would end a rock tune with,
probably,
borrowed from that from that style. Up until then, interesting style of playing that. I don't know that I'd.
Is that a careful compliment?
No, it isn't. I just happen to be.
I like what you're trying to do.
Ever happen to have been in the room when watching somebody play banjo that way.
hope you never have to again.
No, I enjoyed it very much. So that's a technique you learned from your Uncle Dan, you said.
Well, no, I didn't learn that technique from
him. You learned
a
tune from him.
Yeah, he showed me how to play, he showed me Cumberland Gap, and I made up a bunch of other words to it and stuff. Yeah, the style of playing is just a hybrid of a bunch of weird stuff. I wish I could frail. You know, the frailing style banjo, I'm not sure.
That's what they call clawhammer.
Yeah, where it's like the bouncy old time stuff where you, it's drop thumb they call it, mm-hmm. as well. And it's my favorite sound of banjo is the old time sound, but it has an exact opposite pick pattern to what fingerstyle guitar is. The thumb's always dropping on a downbeat playing fingerstyle guitar, and in frailing, your thumb's always coming back up on the upbeat. And it messes me up. I can't do it.
Yeah, I could imagine that. When I've talked to people about possibly learning banjo myself, I was told that, well, if you want to play sooner than later with people, learn clawhammer.
Uh-huh.
That the bluegrass style is a little bit more difficult. So
yeah,
apparently you learned both of the more difficult styles on the guitar, between guitar and banjo, from what I hear. Finger picking on the guitar and mm-hmm. I don't know what the style is on the banjo. Whatever it is. Well, it was enjoyable to listen to.
Well, good,
and
thanks.
We're listening to Jalon Crossland here on our radio show, which is Live and Local, your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. He's playing in Urbana tonight at 8 and tomorrow night at 8. The Rose Bowl Tavern during their Hootenanny tonight, and then at the Iron Post tomorrow night. And very pleased to have you on the show today. You got a new record coming out.
Yeah.
You got about, this will be your sixth?
Well, let's see.
Six or seven?
Well, I think it's the seventh one I've made. The first one I let go out of print because I never liked it all that much.
So the sixth one that counts.
Yeah, it's the sixth one that's still available out there.
Yeah, so about out in about 3 weeks or so.
June 20th we're going to release it.
And is this the band or is this you?
It's
solo?
A band record. The last one was the only solo record I ever did, and so now we got the band back doing it.
And that solo record has a wonderful title of Portrait of a Fish.
Yeah.
Which is the name of one of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're not gonna, were you planning to do that song by any chance?
I could try it.
Has it been too long?
I don't.
It was a fun song, I thought, actually. An interesting concept for a song.
I think that was actually probably the first song I ever made up.
Really?
Yeah.
And it took five records to
get
it recorded?
It was from a dream I had when I was a kid where a big fish came to my house and asked me to paint its portrait. And so I started writing it way back when I was first doing it. And then the song just kept evolving. I was on my first record, which I never liked. And so then it's just been evolving ever since with making up new words and stuff. And now, whenever I sing it, I have to remember which set of words I'm singing because it's changed so many times.
I was going to say, is it you don't know where in it, the evolution you're catching it on a given day?
Yeah, right.
In its previous incarnation or the one that's gonna come next. Well, if you want, it would be fun. If
I
not,
could try
that's
it.
Fine. We could go right.
What's the worst that could happen?
I don't know. You could.
If the story doesn't make any sense at all, you'll know I got the versions messed up.
Do you ever make up words on the spot? Or are we about to find out that possibility?
Might be a good chance to test it. No, I actually sang it last Friday. I got hired to play a 5-year-old girl's birthday party.
Really?
Yeah. So I've picked up any songs that sounded kind of like kids' songs.
Were you in Wyoming at that
yeah,
point?
Yeah, I was in Wyoming. I knew then I'd hit the big time at last. Okay, let's see. I'll give this Portrait of Fish a try.
As I lay sleeping, a knock came at my door. Drawing on my house coat, staggered across the floor to find upon the front step a fish of frightening size. Looking cold and weary, he asked to come inside. Good fish, why do you call hours before the dawn? Said, I've got a canvas that I want my face upon. I've come many miles from my home beneath the sea, hoping you may render a portrait of me. And I said, I never heard the calling, no, I never had the wish to be woke up in the morning for the portrait of a fish. Woke up in the morning for the portrait of a fish. So I hid my fishing pole, boiled us some tea, splashed him in the bath to polish up and breathe. And then after a while, he re-emerged sublime, coat of mail gleaming in the candlelight. Took a jar of India ink and popped it with a quill, and he made a perfect subject, for he held his head real still, and his fishly face took form with fishly features, fishly fins. I couldn't help but notice that he wore a fishly grin. I said, I've never heard the calling, no, I've never had the wish to be woke up in the morning for the portrait of a fish. Woke up in the morning for the portrait of a fish. I said, I've never heard the calling, no, I've never had the wish to be woke up in the morning for the portrait of a fish. Woke up in the morning for the portrait of a fish. When all was done, we rolled and sealed the canvas up with wax. And he made, see, I got it right. And he paid me in sand dollars. Made it hard to figure tax. A portrait of a fish to hang upon an ocean wave. In the last two lines of that, before that last one, he tucks the roll beneath his fin and staggers back to the sea, but I couldn't remember how it went.
So I guess we just found out the worst thing that could happen.
That's the worst that could
happen.
Right at the end. That wasn't that bad.
No, not that bad at all. That was a fun song. So you said that originated as a dream when you had it, that you had as a kid.
Yeah.
Does that dream ever come back or anything like it?
Things like it. I have a recurring dream in the van. I'll wake up and I'll think that the van is parked, that the ocean is washing in like the tide, coming in like the tide all around the van. I look out and it's just ocean as far as I can see. And I freak out and jump up and like wondering how am I gonna get the van out of this situation? And usually I'll jump out sleepwalking. And then the cold air will hit me and I wake up. This happens all the time. This happened in a city park in North Dakota one night.
That dream.
Running around the park in my boxers, waking up. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever talk to fellow touring songwriters who do similar to what you do, and they have similar dreams? Or
like recurring dreams from songs?
Like, no, of that sort of situation, you know, where you're something that keeps you from doing your job or getting to the next gig or whatever.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I never thought of it that way. It'd keep you from getting to the next gig. I guess it would. Before that, I had a recurring dream of it happened a lot. This dream that I'd be going on for the big gig, and there's a big crowd, and they're all eager to hear you and to cheer you on. I walk in there and I play and nothing comes out of my guitar, little crackles. And I'm like, dang. So I'll start messing around with the chord, trying to figure out what that is. And I'll start messing around with the pedals. And it goes on and on through this dream. And as I'm doing this, the giant crowd is slowly dispersing. Everyone's slowly walking into the exits. And by the end of the dream, there's like five people left. And I'm still messing with the guitar, trying to get it to play. That's kind of a musician nightmare.
Well, I was curious because when you were just telling me that, I was thinking, you know, there. I learned some years ago from a former, what they call master control operator here at the radio station, that there are such things as radio dreams. Because I was saying that, you know, I used to have this recurring dream when I was a classical music programmer, and they got more and more elaborate as time went, where I could not find a CD. You know, I'd go to this room and there'd be the shelves would have been moved, and I'd go to the next room and they'd rearranged everything. And eventually I was running from building to building and I was telling him that, and he said, oh yeah, all radio people have dreams like that.
Isn't
so
that
I just
something?
Wondered if all songwriters have something.
No, I hadn't heard it was, that from other songwriters, but I imagine they do.
Yeah, no,
that's interesting.
Ask, yeah.
Maybe no matter what you do.
There's something that keeps you from the panic is that you can't do what you need to do.
Right.
What you can't do to
it's like
make your living.
Dreams processing fears, I guess.
Maybe so. And in your case, you get to write them down and
well,
put them in a song. Maybe that's a bit of an antidote somehow.
Yeah. Prevention. I don't know. I'm still having the dreams. So.
Well, that's
not the fish dream.
That's true. Well, you're listening to Live and Local. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. Jalon Crossland is my guest. He'll be playing at the Rose Bowl Tavern tonight during the Urbana Hootenanny. At 8 o'clock, and then tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Iron Post. Both locations are in downtown Urbana. His next record is due out on or about June 20th from his own Boom Chicken Records. That's spelled R-E-K-K-E-R-D-S.
Yeah.
Like that spelling. Where does your name come from, Jalon, J-A-L-A-N?
It's a Malaysian word.
Really?
It's actually not considered a name in... I guess my granddad was working as a driller in Singapore when I was born, and so somehow he brought that name back. But it's not even a name in Malaysia. It's a word that just means road or way. I think people would probably laugh at me over there if they heard me say that.
But that's the name you were given.
Yeah,
and it seems to have been prophetic.
I guess
that you spend
sort of
time on the road so much of it.
Yeah.
Somehow or another. Well, we'll let you do one more song. And I'll save the station ID for the end.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
It's been fun.
A lot of fun, yeah. What are we gonna hear to end?
Let's see. This is one off of the Portrait of a Fish CD. This is called Joanne.
Somebody we should assume you know, I imagine. Names changed to protect the innocent.
All the names are changed. Boy, I tell you, I gotta change strings every single time, every gig out here in this country. It's so humid, they just die. Okay, here we go.
Kentucky skyline sinks low into the nighttime. I grew up on this bluegrass, went singing in the hills. But I'm leaving in the morning, I got an itching for that blacktop. Got my things together now, goodbye. And I'm looking for a lady who wants to ride shotgun. Looking for a lady willing to hear my lies. Joanne, understand these words that I'm saying. Joanne, understand, you gotta open up your eyes. Call the old Missouri mansion when everyone was dancing. That banjo player really got me high. And I never learned to please her, just learned I didn't need her. Missouri ain't no place for me to die. And I'm looking for a lady who wants to ride shotgun. Looking for a lady willing to hear my lies. Joanne, understand these words that I'm saying. Joanne, understand, you gotta open up your eyes. Mississippi, wondering if she'll miss me. Her name was Liliana Jefferson. I could see it all real clearly, though I was getting weary. Playing cards each night, and I never won. And I'm looking for a lady who wants to ride shotgun. Looking for a lady willing to hear my lies. Understand these words that I'm saying. Joanne, understand, you gotta open up your eyes. And I'm looking for a lady who wants to ride shotgun. Looking for a lady willing to hear my lies. Joanne, understand these words that I'm saying. Joanne, understand, you gotta open up your eyes.
Jalon Crossland, live on Live and Local. Thank you very much for coming in the studio today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It was a real treat. He'll be at during the Urbana Hootenanny at the Rose Bowl Tavern, downtown Urbana, tonight at 8 o'clock, and then tomorrow night at the Iron Post also downtown Urbana, also at 8 o'clock. You're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. We're a listener, a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Mostly sunny tomorrow, highs in the mid-80s. It's just about 5:01.